Why is it that God so often makes us wait on what it is that we are praying for? Any parent knows, if you want to raise a good kid, you try to gratify their desires as soon as they have them, as soon as they express them. So what's up with this delay? We saw last time that we were looking at prayer, I hope you get a chance to have seen that video, that in Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that he wanted his followers to always be praying and never give up. And then there's a couple of stories, one about an unjust judge, one about a neighbor that just wants to get some sleep, but in response to the persistence of the request, they yield. Now, of course, part of what Jesus is teaching is God's not like that judge. God's not like that neighbor. They don't really want to help. They're just kind of worn down like little kids. When we were small, we would do this to my mom, just tap her over and over, mom, 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 until we wore her down. And Jesus is teaching, prayer's not like that. God's not like that. It's not about wearing him down. So why does he make us delay? Well, obviously, there's a lot of mystery to that, a lot that's way above my pay grade. But I do think there's bits to understand. Jesus is inviting us into the ultimate relational reality of the kingdom. Ask, and you'll receive. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. When people love each other, in the kingdom of God, we live in relationships where generous giving and humble asking and grateful receiving is the beauty of life. It begins that way within the Trinity. I'm living in this beautiful place right now, partly because Nance and I asked a couple who were just remarkably generous with us when we needed someplace to be here in the Bay Area. And I'm out here right now listening to the birds, remembering what Jesus said. You know, consider the birds of the air. Your Father is giving to them every day. He generously provides. That's how the world keeps running. And he will take care of you. Partly I'm outside because there's some tech stuff being done in my office right now by somebody who's got a level of expertise that I could never do for a little project that's coming up for Become New. So my whole life, your whole life, is mostly a matter of gifts that we have received. And more often than we can keep track, it involves asking. And that's supremely true with God. So we're on this journey together, learning from Jesus, greatest teacher of all time, Sermon on the Mount, greatest teaching of all time, how to ask and to seek and to knock. And today I want to talk a bit about why it is that God often will have us wait when we are praying, when we are hoping, when we are aching. And one question that we can ask during the waiting time. This is a story that for a long time when I read it just seemed very strange to me. And then I read a man by the name of Ken Bailey, who's a terrific New Testament scholar. He lived for many years in the Middle East, studied Middle Eastern culture, and he writes about this in wonderful ways. So I'm very indebted to him for this understanding of this passage. This is from Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus left where he had been teaching and withdrew into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, that's quite significant. This is outside of Israel, outside of the people of God, where the Gentiles were, people for whom Israel did not have much time. But Jesus did. Jesus was constantly surprising his followers by his compassion and care for Samaritans over and over again, and Roman centurions, and making them heroes when he would preach, like in Luke 4. So that's where he is. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity. Now, you know, the land of Canaan, the Canaanites, they were kind of the enemies back in the Old Testament day. These were not considered good people. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." So, she is in agony. She is crying out to God, now crying out to God through Jesus. Jesus did not answer a word. That's very strange. We know that he is a deeply compassionate person and yet says nothing. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Now that's a little generous on their part. She didn't say anything about wanting them. But they include themselves in the band of potential helpers and tell Jesus, send her away. Kent Bailey writes, here's part of what's going on. Jesus is a master teacher, and he's actually teaching in two directions at a single time. He is working with this woman. He is teaching her. We'll see more about that as we keep going on through the story. He's also teaching his disciples. He wants them to understand, because he's already taught them quite a lot about caring for Samaritans and centurions and Gentiles. And he wants to see, Ken Bailey says, do they understand yet? Will any of them recognize this woman's humanity and that she is loved by God and stand up for her? So he doesn't say anything to see what they will do. And so far, they're flunking the test. Send her away. He answers. Now, she's there, but he's responding to his disciples in this moment. So he's not turning and facing her yet. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, to the woman, this raises the challenge bar even higher. To his disciples, it seems like he's reinforcing their ethnocentricity. Yeah, she's not, you know, in my bailiwick. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And now her anguish and her humanity are palpably present. Will the disciples do anything? Will they say anything? Will any one of them speak up for her? Crickets. He replied, it is not right for me to take the children's bread, Israel's, and toss it to the dogs. Now the dogs, that was a common term for Gentiles back in the first century. Jason softens it a little bit. He uses a term for a little dog, like a doggy, like a dogette. It's not right to throw the crumbettes to the dogettes. He uses that harsh term to see how the disciples will respond. He softens it a bit for the sake of the woman. And again, they say nothing. So they fail this test rather badly. They get an incomplete. The good news about being a disciple of Jesus is it's never final failure. It's an incomplete. I get a lot of those. But the woman responds. Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's breast and toss it to the dogs. And you wonder, how does she have the courage to stay in this? But she does. She comes back at him with a remarkable level of like feisty, almost combative faith. Oh, yes, it is. So she's disagreeing with him. She's going to teach the teacher. This is shameless audacity in prayer. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Once again, silence. None of the disciples respond at all. And now finally, Jesus responds to her. He turns to her. And now the mask is off. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So with this woman, Jesus initially hides his heart, hides his great love. There's a book on story by Robert McKeon. He writes about how if you're a writer, you hold an audience's attention not by what you reveal, but by the information you withhold. And the master teacher knows that as well. We often see this with God. We see it, for example, in the strange story of Jacob when he wrestles with the angel of God, with the presence of God. I will not let you go until you bless me. Somehow, in the wrestling and the struggling and the sparring and the persisting, a human being grows in a way that they don't grow if the answer is just simply given right away. Generally, when it comes to prayer, when I go to God, I'm concerned with my circumstances. But again, asking is a part of the great relationship. God is primarily concerned with my character. And our character often grows when we have to battle and struggle and we're not sure, but we keep persisting and we keep going. And this woman walks away from this experience with Jesus with a level of faith now, an understanding of who Jesus is, and an understanding of her own ability to grapple and persist, an understanding of the depth of her own faith that she would not have had it not been this strange kind of tug of war between her and Jesus, until finally he says, okay, now you can see me fully. So the question to ask when we're engaged in the waiting period in prayer is, God, is there a way for you want me to respond? Is there something you want me to do? And I want to invite you to reflect on that right now. We're going to pray right now. Our Father, who is always near. And now tell God again about that concern that you're laying before him each day, and I will as well. Amen. And now just ask God, and you can pause for a moment to see, are there any steps that I could take to be helpful to this person? And I have found this week a couple of quite concrete ones. They don't solve the thing that I'm asking for, but they're little steps where I can be involved to do something positive. And that's part of the response of prayer. I think about when Jesus was talking to Peter before he was crucified, telling Peter that Peter was going to deny him. And Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. Now, he doesn't fix Peter. How often we would just like to fix people. The word for that in our day is codependency and enabling. And it's a real good thing that we're not able to do that, although it's very frustrating. Jesus prays for Peter, doesn't step in and make Peter do the right thing or keep him from doing the wrong thing. But he's also not passive. Not only does he pray, he also tells Peter, I prayed for you. And when you are restored, strengthen your brothers. So there's going to be something for Peter to do. Jesus lets him know about that. Is there anything God's calling you to do? And listen, and if there is, do it. Make it a golden rule day. Ask, seek, and knock.
You've been listening to Become New with John Ortberg, where you can receive 10 minutes of daily teaching about the person you're becoming. If you like what you're hearing, you can head on over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has over 700 10-minute teachings on the person you're becoming, cataloged in 20 different series covering a range of topics you might be interested in. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each episode that include extra resources and discussion questions, you can let us know at becomenew.com/subscribe. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, there's a team of us who meet each weekday to pray for listeners just like yourself. You can send your specific request to us at the number 855-888-0444. I'm glad you're here, and we'll catch you next time.